In the name of Lord Jesus, I speak. Now we shall start the second topic or theme that has been given. That is defending the faith. Right, defending the faith. I think before we can talk about defending, we must first know what our faith is. Right? Now, to defend the faith means because we know that the faith is precious and the faith is from God and the faith saves. Right? That's why it needs some defending. Right? Now, it also means the faith that we have received cannot be tempered with, right? Cannot be adulterated with any other teachings. Okay. Now, before we talk about this, yeah, I want to ask you a question. What is faith? What is faith? I think the Chinese translation is slightly different. The Chinese says 真理, the truth. Right. So what is faith to you? Okay, Hebrews chapter 11. Okay. It's like a kind of conviction that you have in God, right? I think, to put it in the simplest form, yeah, I think there are two parts to the faith that we talk about. And the first is the conviction that you have in God, yeah. Yeah, believing that He is the Savior and He can save. Right. The second part is about the word that He has given to us. Right. So when you say you defend the faith, it means that first you must believe that Jesus is the Savior, He is God Himself, and the second part is you must hold on to what? The word that He has given to the church. Okay, this is how I look at it when you talk about faith in the light of the epistles, yeah? Okay. Now, since we know that the Word of God is the truth, then I ask you another question. I would like to ask you another question. What is the truth? Or what is truth? Or what does the truth encompass? Anyone? Okay, we tend to the book of Psalms. I tend to the book of Psalms. Look at Psalms 119. Please look at Psalms 119. Okay, we read 142. Right. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Yeah. Okay, now 151. Yeah, again, I think, you know, there is what we call variation in translation. You know, some version says the law is truthful. Okay, now 151. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. All right, truth. Now 160. Now the entirety of your word is truth, right? So basically, we can sum these three verses up by saying that, you know, the truth is actually what the Word of God, which we know can be found in the Scriptures. The Scriptures is the truth, right? Broadly speaking, is the truth of God. Now, I want you to look at also John. I turn to the book of John now. Chapter 18. John chapter 18. John chapter 18. We read verse 37. Okay. Now Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am the king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Okay? Now, anyone who is of the truth hears the voice of God. Now, in a way, you find that there is a close relationship between what? Between the truth of God. I mean, between the voice of God and the truth. Yeah? It's like we can actually equate the two, right? The voice actually of Jesus is the truth. You know, there's a passage in John chapter 10, right? Let's look at John chapter 10. Please turn to John chapter 10. We read verse 16, okay? John 10:16. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. So when Jesus said these people would hear his voice, meaning these people would hear his truth, or would hear the truth that he preaches, or the truth that that his church preaches, right? That's the voice of Jesus. So sometimes the voice in the scriptures, the voice of Jesus, can be equated to the truth. Alright? Now, we believe that the true Jesus church is the only true church, right? We never compromise, ourselves with any other churches. Not at all. Right? We never invite any pastors from other denomination to come to the church to preach, right? Because we believe that the truth is in the church. For them to come in, they must first accept the truth. Is it not true? Yeah? So, if they want to be part of this fold of God, then they must listen to the preaching of the church. Meaning, they must be willing to listen to the truth. Alright? Now, so, you find that in this sense, the truth is very precious, not only that it's unique, and it's something that no other denomination can ever find without us revealing to them. That's the truth. Okay? Now, it may sound very proud and arrogant. It's like, it's like we are the special ones, right? It's like we preach something exclusive, right? Now, we need to understand this. The truth is in the church, and the truth belongs to the church. And in Christ Jesus, according to Paul, then you can find the truth. The truth. Okay? Now, so, this is a rough introduction or definition given to the concept of faith or the truth. Now, you know that, yeah? There are so many Christians and so many people believe that, believe in the Word of God. They read the Bible as well, right? How do you know that, what you talk about is biblical? Because everyone claims that, their teaching is from the Bible, right? Now, you find that God is actually an orderly God. This morning, I think yesterday, we talk about the patterns. Remember that? Right? Yeah? Okay. Now, you find that even when you look at the law of God, it was given in a form. Right? In a form. I want you to read Romans chapter 2. Please turn to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 20. An instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. Okay? Here it talks about, you know, those who know the Old Testament scriptures. Right? But my main point is, yeah, the point I'm making is that even the law or the knowledge of God is given in a form. That is the form to the Word of God. Right? Now, so you find that all these people actually, you know, have this form of knowledge and truth. Okay? Like to me, it's like a certain patterns or whatever. Right? Okay. Now, I want you to read also chapter 6, yeah? Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, we read verse 17. Yeah, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you become slave of righteousness. Right? Now, here it says that the teaching, so the doctrine actually has a form also, right, has been given to us. And by adhering to this form of doctrines, then we can be set free from sin. Right? So you find that it comes in a form or in a pattern. Okay? Now, like what we said before, this form of doctrines can never be discovered by man. Yeah? If God has not revealed it to us or to the church, yeah, no one could have found it. It's not possible. Right? And it has been given to the church. Okay, now, so you may question, how do you know that the true Jesus Church has been given this form of doctrine that saves, that can actually save, you know, those who believe from sin? Okay, how do we know? Okay, I think it's very simple. The fact that we have the presence of the Spirit proves that we have this form of doctrine. Okay. Because the Spirit is the truth, and the truth is the Spirit. Okay, that's why the church is so unique, in the sense that not because we are better than others, rather because of the presence of the Spirit in our midst that makes us different from others. Right? So, with the Spirit, we can conclude that we have been given this form of doctrine that saved. Those who believe in Jesus from sin. Okay? There are many teachings in the church, in the true Jesus Church, that really require us to ponder over them very carefully. You cannot simply dismiss them just because you don't understand. Right? At times it requires a long period of meditation, discussing with one another, just like the function of the TRC is to basically try to discuss matters pertaining to the truth. Right? So there are things that we have may not be readily understandable, like what we said before. But you cannot dismiss them. You need to hold on to them. You need to believe that this has been given to the church. Right? The patterns. Remember we talked about this morning? The patterns. Right? Okay. Now, so, when you look at the apostolic church, it seems that the words of the apostle, were the standard of the church. So whatever the apostle said is like authorities, okay? Now, there is a question we need to answer today. We need to answer, is the foundation of the true Jesus Church the same as that of the apostle? That's a very important question, right? Is the church built upon the foundation of the apostle? That's the question we need to ask. Right. Now, if you look at the early church, I want you to turn to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. Please turn to Acts chapter 2. Let me read verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Right here, we are told they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Okay. Now it seems that here the teachings of the apostle form the standard of the church. It's like there's no mention of the teachings of the prophets, right? Neither the teachings of Christ, yeah? Only the teachings of the apostles. Now we know that, you know, in the New Testament scriptures, Jesus endorsed the teaching of the apostles, yeah? In the gospel was quite clear, right? That's why Jesus said, you know, he who hears you hears me, right? So, like, you know, the apostles were given the power of the Spirit to explain, you know, the scriptures, even to interpret, you know, the teachings of Jesus Christ. Sometimes you know that, you know, for us to understand the teaching of Jesus, it is better for us to go through the apostle. Meaning, it's better for us to understand the teaching of the apostle so that we can have a better understanding of what Jesus was talking about. Like, baptism in the name of Jesus. We would not have understood, you know, the teachings of baptism in the name of Jesus, you know, if the apostle had not spoken about it. Right. Now, also when you look at the New Testament scriptures, the apostles were given the knowledge and wisdom to explain the Old Testament scriptures. But that's why whatever they said formed, you know, the standard of the church. Okay? Now, the crucial question is the TJC today built upon this foundation? What do you think? What do you think? Do you think the TJC is built upon the foundation of the apostles? If yes, do you have any proof from the scriptures? Okay. But that is given to the church at Ephesus. I'm talking about TJC. Now, after more than almost 2,000 years now, How can we be so certain that now the church, the true Jesus church, must follow exactly what the apostle taught in the past? You know, we are talking about defending the faith. We don't know this. Hey, sorry?
Yeah, I don't know how to explain it, but I don't know how to back it up. It's not the same thing that passed. Like, it's the same thing we received from Jesus. What they received from Jesus, we received it through the Holy Spirit. And it's the same teaching, right? The same.
Can it be that we know more than the apostle did?
In terms of
revelation,
more will be revealed, yeah, but not doctrinally, I don't think. Doctrinally, I don't think.
Okay. No, I think this is the point that we need to be very clear about, okay? Even before we can talk about defending, how do you prove that the TJC must be built upon the foundation of the apostle? Anyone?
The Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Okay, we have the Holy Spirit. Okay.
Is it the logic? I'm just trying to establish the logic. Mm-hmm. Now the apostle teaches about keeping both Jesus and the commandments, right? Mm. And so today you feel Holy Spirit and keep the same commandments, both Jesus abiding us. Mm. Would that be the logic that would claim that we have the same foundation as the apostles?
Okay. All right. Now, today when we talk about baptism, Where do we get the idea from? From the apostle, mm-hmm. Is it also? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why do we baptize people in the name of Jesus? Is it not from the apostle? Yeah. From the apostle, is that true? Huh? Now, today we believe that when someone receives the Spirit, he speaks in tongues. Where do you get the idea from?
Acts.
Okay, yes, it's in Acts, I know. In Acts of the Apostle, yeah. You understand what I'm saying? You find that, like, this crucial doctrine, very important doctrine, so we follow exactly what the Apostle did, what they taught us, right? So in that sense, we can say that that's the foundation, it's not true. Yeah? We don't deny the fact that, you know, Jesus is the foundation, but Jesus is the, he includes all the truth, yeah? He's the embodiment of the truth, right? You get what I'm saying? Okay. Now, I want you to look at Revelation. Turn to Revelation. Now, we read verse 14. Okay? Verse 14. Now, it talks about the New Jerusalem. Obviously, we believe that Revelation. The New Jerusalem here refers to the perfect church and how eventually the TJC will become the perfect New Jerusalem from God. Okay, now verse 14. Now the wall of the city has 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Okay, so why mention the names of the 12 apostles on the foundations? Now, you know, walls, yeah, according to the Old Testament, is they are closely linked to salvation. Is it true? Where is it? Can someone find me the verse?
The wall.
The city wall? The wall of the city? Is it not?
Salvation?
Yes, salvation. Okay, chapter 26 of Isaiah. Okay, chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. Okay, 26. Now, in that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. Right? So, in a way, find that salvation is connected to the wall. Right? Salvation. Okay? Now, so, you find that this is the foundation of the city wall is what written with the names of the apostles. So quite clearly, yeah. So the foundation must be the foundation of the apostles. Okay? Now, you know, the argument goes in this way. Some said, right, because now we are in the end time, we know the truth much better than the apostle did, or we know the truth much more clearer, you know, than the prophets. Obviously, I agree with that, but our understanding cannot be away from the foundation of the apostle. We might gain deeper understanding, say, of a certain truth, but that understanding has to be on the same foundation. You get what I'm saying? All right? I think that is very, very important. Okay? Now, if I want you to think about this verse as well, yeah? We turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. Yeah? 1 John chapter 4. Yeah. 1 John chapter 4, we read verse 6, okay? Yeah. Verse 6, we are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now my question is, does this verse still apply to us? Verse 6, does it apply to us? Yeah? Does it? So if it does, it means that we, our church is built upon the word of the apostle. Is it not so? So meaning, today if I preach something which is not mentioned by the apostle, then, you know, straight away, my spirit will be questioned. You understand what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying now? Right? Now, if we believe that this verse is still applicable to us, then we have to make sure that our foundation is the same as that of the apostle. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying now? Right? Now, I believe that with all the facts that you can reason it out, you know, for yourself, then you find that the foundation must be the same as that of the apostle. Is that okay? Yeah? Alright, now, you know, sometimes the danger is this. Okay? Everyone is encouraged to study the Bible. Right? And I think this has been the practice in the True Jesus Church. We always encourage our members, our brothers and sisters, you know, to study the Bible, yeah, as often as they possibly can. Mm-hmm. Right? Because we believe that the Word of God, you know, can help a person grow spiritually. But I think this is a piece of good advice to all of us. But there is also a danger involved. Right? Now, the more we study, if we are not careful, like what we said before, yeah? If the mind is not correct, then you'll find that what? We can actually wander away from the right path. Okay? Now, you know, morning, yeah, Matthew asked, right? You know, the example you quoted, someone says something very different from you. Someone says something very different from, slightly different from the doctrine. Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah.
So how do we know that, you know, how do we know that this is not the right teachings or whatever? Okay? Now, you know, when we talk about revelation that we receive, okay, I think there is a guideline we need to follow as well, right? So that we ourselves will not exceed the boundary of the truth. You get what I'm saying? Okay? Now, I want you to, you know, we talked about Paul yesterday. We said as far as Timothy was concerned, he is the first generation receivers of God's words. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Now, why was he considered the first generation receiver? Because he was given direct revelation from God. Yeah? That's why the Bible says, you know, I talk about this according to my gospel. Paul says my gospel because it's like, even though he is a vessel, but he was the first one who was given the revelation. And you know, you understand what I'm saying? That's why he told Timothy about it. Are you getting me? Right now, how is Paul's teaching befitted into the context of the church, of the apostolic church as a whole? That's why some people said, you see, even after the church has been established, Paul could still receive direct revelation from God. You understand what I'm saying? You know, I find that all this issue has to be resolved first before we talk about defending. Otherwise, it's very difficult. Okay? Now, today, if I tell you I have a revelation, right, will you believe? Obviously, you say, no, let's listen to what you have to say. Okay? Now, if you look at Paul, yeah, Paul's teaching, even though he was like a first generation receiver of the Word of God, you'll find that the revelation that he received did not go against the overall teachings of the church. You get what I'm saying? Right? Now, I want you to read that. We read that, Titus. Okay? Please turn to Titus. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, we read verse 1 here. Paul, a born servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth which accords with godliness. Now, when Paul talks about, you know, his faith, yeah, we find that his faith is in accordance to the faith of God's elect. Right? Meaning, his faith, to me, is no different, you know, from the chosen people of God. Even though he was given revelation, actually it's the same. Okay, so I think the point is this, I'm making is this: whatever you have received today, through your searching of the scriptures, because you devote time, you know, to the study of the Word of God, and you are very prayerful because you want to know more about God's Word, so that you can lead your family, you can lead the church or whatever. Bear this in mind, whatever you have received cannot and it must not exceed the boundary of the truth. And that is the truth that the church has received. We are talking about at least the basic belief and things pertaining to God. You understand what I'm saying? Alright? Now, in fact, you find that this is a very important point to bear in mind. Very, very important point. Okay? Now, I want you to read also verse 4, chapter 1, verse 4. Titus, chapter 1, verse 4. Now, to Titus, a true son in our common faith, right? Grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. A true son in our common faith. Now, you find that in the time of the apostle, they share the same faith. Okay? Meaning, the church cannot afford to have two different faith. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? There is only one. Mm-hmm. That's why the Bible says one common faith. Okay? So meaning my faith must be the same as yours. So if yours is different from mine, either yours is correct or mine is wrong. Mm-hmm. Then you need to trash it out. You get what I'm saying? Right? Because the Bible says one body, one faith. There's only one. So whatever revelation you have received in the future because of your hearts towards God, then you have to make sure that it's fall neatly in line within the common faith. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? Now, we read First Peter. Then, Second Peter, okay, now I want to ask a question first before you read to help you understand better. Now, if you have read First Peter, who were the recipients? Who were the recipients? Because Second Peter does not talk about the recipients, only First Peter. So who were the recipients? Those who scattered, is it?
Yeah.
Is it also? No. And here we find that this includes churches in where? In Galatia. Is it not true? Now who preached to the churches in, who established the church in, or the churches in Galatia? Who? Okay? Paul, yeah? Okay? Now we know that Paul received revelation, is that also? Yeah? Okay. Now when you look at Second Peter chapter 1, here Peter said to these people, including those whom Paul had preached to. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, now see what he said to them in verse 1. Simon Peter, a born servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us, by the righteousness of our God and Savior. Meaning these people have received faith. If you are using NKJV, it says these people have received faith of the same value. Okay, the value of your faith must be the same as mine. Okay, regardless of who has brought the gospel to you. You understand what I'm saying? Now, in this case, you find that it was Paul who preached to the members at Galatia. There are many churches in Galatia, if you read the book of Galatia. Right? And Paul and some other workers, they were the preachers for the Gentiles. They went there to preach and establish churches. Right? Now here, Peter wrote to them, you find that it's like saying that these people has obtained the what? Faith of the Samaritan. Can you see now? You know, let's say there are five different preachers in the True Jesus Church. Okay, we all go to different places to preach. Alright? Now, there can only be one conclusion, meaning all those who have received the teachings, they must share this common faith. Okay? Let's say you go to place A to preach, I go to place B and Adrian, no, Andy go to place C. Place C is to wake him up, sorry. Place C to preach, okay? So all these places, when they come together, yeah, their faith must be the same. You understand what I'm saying? This common faith. Right? It cannot be different. Right? Meaning, although Paul, maybe Peter have not seen some of the people there, say in the church of Galatia, but because of the faith that they had, it's like they were what? They were brought together. At least in the spirit, if not in a physical sense. You understand what I'm saying? So the truth, the faith that we share today unite. I go to the UK preachers go to Africa to preach, and the American preachers go to what? South America to preach, right? But you find that the faith in Africa and the faith in South America is they are the same. We say the same common faith. You know, if I have a chance to go over there, then I would believe that, you know, the faith that they have should be the same as mine. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. This common faith. Right? You get what I'm saying? So it cannot be different in the sense that, you know, if I go to another place and everyone says, hey, this guy does not believe in what, baptism in the name of Jesus. Mm. Or that church does not believe in, you know, keeping the Sabbath. Then there's something wrong somewhere. You understand what I'm saying? Right? So we are the same. So you find that Paul, even though he received so much, actually his teachings are in line with the teachings of the apostles. So today, if you have been given revelation, right, you have to make sure that your teachings do not fall outside the common belief. Is that clear? Okay. You know, I was approached by a person, so he said to me, look, if you look at the teachings concerning the book of Revelation, he said, at least in the True Jesus Church, there are three different versions. My understanding of the book of Revelation may be different from preacher, you know, A, or different from preacher B. So how are you going to reconcile the differences? Okay? Now, we need to understand there are two types of differences, yeah? Two types. Okay? Basically, when we talk about the truth, I classify in this way. The first one is innocuous, meaning harmless differences. Mm-hmm. Okay? It does not really affect the faith of the church. Right? In fact, you find all these differences, when you put together, you can gain more insight into the subject. Mm-hmm. Example, right? Now, the second type of differences, we call it, if I can term it this way, foundation shifting differences. You understand what I'm saying? That's different. Okay? You move the foundation. Mm-hmm. Right? That is different. Okay? Now, so we are not talking about differences in terms of shifting the foundation. We are talking about this here. Okay? The innocuous one. Right? So, we know there are differences in understanding in the church amongst the full-time workers, but you find that most of the differences are harmless. To be honest about it. But the danger is the second one, foundation shifting differences. Mm. This is something that we need to at all cost avoid. You understand what I'm saying now? Right? Now, so you know, studying the Bible is very important, but make sure that we don't end up becoming, you know, someone who promotes something very different from what the church teaches, right? And that is very damaging to the faith. Okay, and that actually divides the church, and you find that scatters the ship of God, and that brings a lot of harm, you know, to the working relationship amongst the co-workers. You get what I'm saying? Right. Now, I think during the fifth lessons, I'll talk a bit about how the Spirit actually works in those who preach another gospel. Right. So, we need to understand when we defend the faith, we are not just talking about, you know, stopping this person, stopping that person. No, we're not talking about that. We are actually fighting against, you know, spirit that we cannot see with our naked eyes. Okay? Now, so far, any question or anything that you want to add on to make it, to make my point stronger, or something that I missed out? Yes?
So far we've been talking about truth, about the actual words of God, the Bible, and the pattern. Now I have a question, is that would the attitude be part of this package of truth as well? Because the reason I ask this is to often talk about how the truth has been hidden from people who are, you know, the attitude is about arrogant or pride. And so we don't often talk about the divine nature of God as part of the truth. And divine nature of God is the Spirit, is truth, is the words of God. So is that possible that then how this is delivered will affect how the truth is being preached?
Okay.
Okay.
So I'm very slow getting over.
Well, I'm saying so far today, this morning, and now we talk about the truth being the actual what's being preached, the words of God, and the pattern of how they are linked together from the Bible. And I'm asking the question is that could the attitude of talking about the words of God be part of this package of truth too? And attitude.
You mean
be the
attitude in terms of
how this is delivered? Because the word of God has to be spoken, has to be delivered by itself. It, you know, you don't read it, you don't hear it. Or even when you read it with a proper attitude, it will affect how you receive the truth. Because the Bible just say that this truth is hidden to those that are proud. And so that is what I'm asking, is the attitude when this is being delivered will affect the delivery of this truth in order to go.
So, if I have understood you correctly, it's like you're like saying that, you know, for us to understand the Word of God, yeah, properly, we need to be cultivated. Is that what you're saying? Spiritually cultivated. You know, obviously, if you are humble, then if you are godly.
Right. All those godly attributes, but I wouldn't say cultivated, but you know, all those godly attributes has to be part of the package to understand the whole truth.
You mean on the part of the person?
Receiver?
The one who receives or the one who delivers.
Okay. Okay. That is what I said. That's what I understood it as well.
Yeah.
Our attitude can affect the understanding of the word.
And that affects this,
the conveying of the message as well. Yes, I think. It's actually a point, he's making a point. He's saying the attitude of a recipient, it can actually affect the way he or she received the word.
Mm.
Right? And likewise, you know, the attitude of the speaker, can also affect the way he conveys the message. I think it's true. It's true as well. You know, we have been saying this, you know, studying the Word of God is a humbling process. You need to remove the self, the I. Right? So that, you know, we can understand the Word of God. But again, it's something very subjective, isn't it? Okay, so this rough idea is about, you know, the common faith, right? So, with this in mind, yeah? Now, obviously, when you talk about defending the faith, you know, we are talking about things that have gone against the basic belief of the church. We're talking about foundation-shifting differences, right? We are not talking about, like, you know, right, sometimes when we read the book of Revelation, you know, our explanation, our understanding, you know, might be different, you know, to that of another preacher. So we are not talking about that. We are talking about, like, you know, today, if I don't believe in baptism is for the forgiveness of sin, that is what, that is the foundation-shifting difference. Right? It's against the very core of our belief. We're talking about that, and that has to be defended. Okay. You understand what I'm saying? Is that okay? What time is it? We got one more lesson tonight. I'm going to show you some examples in the Bible, you know, concerning heresies and how the apostles defended their faith. Okay. Let's say a silent prayer. Amen.